Once again, appreciate the fellows that filled for me while I was away, as usual. Did a really good job. Get a chance to not necessarily hear every word of every sermon, but have listened off and on. So I really appreciate the fact that we're going back away again too. Marcy and I are leaving town early this week because of we haven't been away for a couple of years now. So we're going to do that, and I'm preaching Brother Brandon's camp meeting. I haven't been to Brother Brandon's church since he left Hastings in Connecticut. So I'm preaching that this next week too. So again, appreciate y'all being faithful, and like I said, you come and get fed, because there'll be fellows here that'll certainly be able to feed you. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and to pick up some things. Paul is going through some. This passage is begins with the God of this world, the devil, back in verse 3 and 4 and 5. And Paul is still talking about some things that he suffered in this body, and the hardships of the ministry and some other things. He does say this, verse 13, "We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That renewal is really important. Not the subject of the matter this morning, but we're called to be renewed in the spirit of our minds every single day. Verse 17, the reason why is because you go through things. "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And we can bow our heads there and pray. Father, turn our hearts towards some thoughts here this morning, and we trust, Lord, that this is exactly what you wanted preached in the days of the perilous times. Father, there are so many traps and snares. These are traps and snares that, of course, entangle lost people and send them straight to hell. They also prove to be quite the obstacle for saved people as well. I pray you'd give us insight into these things this morning. May we take an admonition here that's really important, even though it sounds a little strange. And Lord, may we do something with it. May we have and find victory through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, call your attention to verse 18. Paul says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Now, Paul's a very intelligent man. He studied under Gamaliel, and he said in a couple places, "I speak more in more tongues than you all," not meaning the idea of charismatic tongues, but Paul spoke more than one language, apparently. And so this guy, you can tell by the way he writes, this guy's a smart guy. He was a rising star among the Pharisees before his conversion. So this is a smart guy, and for a smart guy to say, we don't look at stuff that we can see, we look at stuff that we can't. And that's what he said, verse 18, right? "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not." We look at stuff you can't see. That sounds like an absurdity to the modern anthropologist or sociologist or even theologist at the U of M or Bethel. It sounds almost weird. It sounds like a misnomer, an oxymoron. It's a contradiction. We look at stuff that you can't see. It's just weird. And as such, Paul landed atop of one of the greatest problems that man has ever had. Paul writes this sometime, give or take, you know, 60 AD or so. Long before the internet, long before Facebook, long before Dropbox, long before visual equipment, long before cameras, long before there was photo publication, long before anybody used photos and marketing, Paul said, one of the things that you have to get straight is you have to look at stuff you can't see. Which again sounds like an oxymoron. But you have to disengage from those things which are merely visual. And so let me deal with that here for a little while this morning. Paul said this in 60 AD when nobody could even take a photo. And, I have 1,000 photos from Germany on my cell phone, and they're in the cloud too. Yes, I'm in the cloud. So, we have capabilities today, and this, while we have those capabilities, this proves to have always been an obstacle with man. After all, in fact, it's proven to be an obstacle with women. In fact, it's proven to be an obstacle with a perfect woman, because the Bible says that Eve saw. Perfect woman. No sin yet, right? Eve saw. The tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, a tree desired to be to make one wise, right? She saw. She saw stuff she could see. She should have been looking at stuff she couldn't see. That's what Paul said. The sons of God, Genesis 6, saw the daughters of men, and y'all probably know what came from that. Ham saw the nakedness of his father. Y'all probably know what came from that. Pharaoh and Abimelech both saw the beauty and the fairness of Sarah. And you probably know what came of that. Lot, in seeing and hearing, hearing too, but in seeing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with the filthy conversation of the wicked. David looked up one day off the rooftop and saw. And it was something that he never shook himself from completely. Amen? Israel wanted to see more and more and more and more, and in looking and looking at things they could see, they managed to kill their own Messiah. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to spend more time looking at things that are not seen than things that are. It's human nature to want to look. It's human nature to want to see. And that's a leftover thing from when man was made in the image of God, and one day it'll be fulfilled. There'll be a day that you will see sights, and your eyes will not thirst to ever see anything again. Because you're going to get to heaven one day, and your eyes are going to get knocked out of your head. I don't mean literally. I mean spiritually speaking, devotionally speaking. But you're going to see all that you could ever imagine seeing. And in that day, your eyes will finally be satisfied. Today is another affair. Today there is an utter, unrelenting visual assault. It's accompanied by audio. You see folks with earplugs in, walking down the street with their nose buried in a cell phone this big, and they can't hear and they can't see anything else but what's going on. So there's audio too, that much is true. But you need to look at this starting now, if not before, as a wholesale onslaught, an offensive that it really is. And the conspiracy is to get you so focused by what you can see that you never stop to consider and to look for what you can't. So Paul says what he says in verse 18, while we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. I know it sounds a little weird. It sounds like an oxymoron, but the goal of this world right now is to subvert and overwhelm everything else, all your thoughts and all your hearing by things that are visual, images, seeing. If it's not actual pictures, they're graphic images, they're virtual images. Now they're taking pictures and it's art and photography and graphic creation that makes a scene that's projected look as real as if it were a real photo itself. That capability is, of course, all around us. The reason that evolution, I believe, today has such an effect is because you have multiple generations now. When they hear evolution, they see things in their mind. They've seen so many pictures of dinosaurs. They've seen so many graphic charts. They've seen so many of those graphic things that they think it's real because they could see it. I just want to say you need to look at things not seen. That's what Paul said. And again, I'm just not that old. I'm really not. I know some of you think I am. I have a personal computer on my desk at home. I'm on it all the time. I have a laptop. I'm on it all the time. I have an iPad. I'm on it all the time. I have a cell phone. Like I said, I have 900 plus pictures of Germany on my cell phone and in the cloud, plus some other stuff, the grandkids and the dog and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I've got pictures. I have all the visual stuff y'all have. I don't have Facebook. I don't do tweeting. I don't tweet. I refuse to tweet. There are some things I just don't do and just don't intend to ever do. But I'm saying that I believe, having said that, that while other generations have been wrapped into this, I believe this is going to be the downfall of the millennials, the 20 and 30-somethings. Because for the entirety of this generation, they've done nothing but look. They've looked so long, they've seen so much. It's a debilitating scourge today where they're almost, when you have a conversation with somebody, they can hardly work a counter at a coffee shop because they don't relate to people. They only relate to screens and pictures on screens. And, you know, again, I have the computers and I have all the graphic stuff. I'm just saying you got to be careful about getting sucked into that, because you need to look at stuff that's not seen more than stuff that is. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, there's a few words to describe here. Now look, you're going to need to keep your Bibles handy this morning. We're going to be turning back and forth some. It's going to be a Bible-active morning. So if you didn't bring a Bible, I'm sorry, we don't have a screen with a hoppy ball, but tough apples. Bring a Bible next time, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Look at things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You need to let that soak in for a while. The things that God calls you to look at are eternal. They last forever. It's what, if you have eternal life, in fact, even if you don't, there are some things that you're going to go through eternally. The things that are not seen are eternal. You haven't seen hell. Hell's eternal. You haven't seen heaven. Heaven's eternal. The throne of Jesus Christ is eternal. Look at another passage. Look into Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Like I said, it's going to be an active Bible morning, so just be ready. Hebrews chapter 11. Title of this message is Look at Things Not Seen. Look at things not seen. It sounds kind of crazy, but look at things not seen. That's what Paul said. Hebrews chapter 11. Now, when I studied things not seen, of course, this popped to mind immediately. Verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now look, it says in that verse that faith is two things. It says that faith is substance. And then it says that faith is evidence. Now, when you look at the proofs for evolution, the fact that there's a chart, the fact that the scientific community in general believes it, doesn't mean it's true. It's a lie, okay? But here's the deal. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. God tells you what you should believe because He tells you how things are, even when you can't see it. So when God says that something's true, that there's a hell, that there's a heaven, that Jesus is coming again, even though you can't see it till you get there, it's something that's not seen. When God says it's true, it's true. And so when you believe the Word of God that it's true because God said it was true, that faith is substance. It's the substance of things hope for, the things you expect and know will happen, because the guy that told you about it is immutable and cannot, it's impossible for God to lie. So that faith, now, you're going to have to go home. If you haven't done this before, go home and think about, make it your point today to go home and think about Hebrews 11:1. Just go read it and mull it for a couple of hours. Faith is the substance. Faith is substance. With God, not with evolution, not with nonsense, but with God it is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. The fact that we have the faith to believe what God said is true, as weird as it sounds, is proof that it's true. It's evidence. Now, again, you need to go think about that a little while. But you can look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, and notice something else that comes to mind here. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When you look at the creation around you, all of that is made of stuff that you can't see. Because not just that it's so small at its molecular level, atomic level, but because God framed it all on the Word of God. So you can go think about that one too. Just stay in Hebrews 11 and think for a while this afternoon maybe. Go on down to verse 7 where it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen," notice, "as yet." Now, whether you are 8 years old or 80 years old, the devil is after you. If you're not saved, you better get saved because he's after you. If you are saved, you better make sure that you look to things that you can't see. Look for the things that you can't see, because those are the things that are eternal. They're of substance. They are evidence. And those are the things that are real. You have to look at things not seen. Say, well, what do I look for? Well, go to Hebrews 12 and you'll find the first thing. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus," looking at Him. Do you see Him? No, you don't. And neither did Oral Roberts. Nobody's seen Him in the last better part of 2,000 years. But there it is. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." It says there, looking unto Jesus. I'll tell you what. You better look for something you can't see. The first category that fits, you better look for Jesus Christ. You need to look to Jesus Christ. You need to see Jesus Christ, even though you can't see Him with your physical eyes. One day you will. Now, when I say this, I'm not talking about some visualization technique. I'm not talking about some image generation by imagination. I'm not talking about some New Age woo-woo stuff. I'm not talking about that. It's not also, by the way, not some graphic Hollywood movie. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith cometh by hearing. If you got saved watching The Passion of the Christ, well, I'm glad for you. But that's not the primary gospel tool. That's not the power of God. The power of God is hearing. And one of the things that the devil does is gets your eyes so full of images that pretty soon all you can see is what you can see, instead of looking for things that are not seen. One thing that you need to make sure and see is Jesus Christ. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, just a page back. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27. And notice this thing about seeing. I just studied seeing this week. Verse 27, "By faith he," Moses, "forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Is God invisible? Well, yes, he is. In fact, I can tell you this, Jesus Christ is invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Christ is invisible, and at no time will you ever have success trying to imagine and visualize him with your eyes and your imagination. You're not going to succeed, but I tell you what, you do need to look for him. You need to see him as one who is invisible. There's some things you need to see, but in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible." He is invisible. Nobody in the last better part of 2,000 years has seen him. And you won't either until he comes back, right? But you need to look for him. You need to look for something not seen. You need to see him. You say, well, how in the world do I see something that's not seen? Well, that's not too hard. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life." There can be no question it's talking about Jesus Christ, right? Verse 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, and that ye also may have fellowship with us." He's saying, we saw it, we apostles, John Zebedee, James, Peter, and so on, we saw it, we heard it, we wrote it down, we're telling you about it. And that's the idea. You look for Jesus Christ by what you hear. You'll never see him until he comes back again. But you need to look for him. You need to look for things not seen. So those apostles, and those Old Testament prophets for that matter, they prophesied so that you could see. Now I'm not talking about, again, a New Age visualization technique or something like that. You don't need to look for pictures even in your mind. But you do need to see clearly Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, at this moment invisible. What did John say? "Behold, look, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." That wasn't just written for the men of his day that could see him. That was written for men of our day that can't really see him, but you can see him by faith. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Even Pilate was a preacher. "Behold the man. Behold your king," he says. He says, look at him, look at him. And you can't, but you can look to him. You can look for things not seen. Moses told those folks impacted by the plague, he put a brazen serpent on a pole and said, "He that looketh on this serpent shall live." And so as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And so Isaiah says, "Look unto me and live. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." Look! Look at him! The picture's painted for you, if not a graphic image. It's painted in your mind and you can never see him till he shows back up. But that's all right. You're supposed to see things that you can't see. "Behold your king," says Pilate. "Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners," said Jesus Christ himself. "Behold," he says, "my hands and feet." Do you see? You are supposed to look at things not seen. You need to see it. Look in Galatians chapter 3 real fast. Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. You need to see Jesus Christ. If not a graphic image, if not just some weird New Age attempt to draw a picture in your mind, which is pretty close to idolatry, you need to be able to see the picture that the Bible paints for you of Jesus Christ. Look unto that which you cannot see. Look in Galatians 3:1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" He said, you Galatians, it's up in Turkey. He says, Christ was crucified before your very eyes. He was not. He was crucified in Jerusalem. But with preaching, with the gospel, he is crucified before those Galatians. Those Galatians were told to look at something they couldn't see. You make sure you look at some stuff that you can't see. Amen. If there's any question about this, go back to Isaiah 29. I told you. Isaiah 29. Isaiah chapter 29. Notice how this goes. If you're without a preacher, if you're without a Bible, if you're without a witness, you are blind as a bat. Look in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you, this is to Israel, the spirit of deep sleep. He hath closed your eyes. Then he says, the prophets and your rulers, the seers hath he covered. He says, the prophets and the rulers and the seers, the preachers and the apostles, they're your eyes. They're preaching to you. They're telling you what's true. They are your eyes. You need to look at things that you can't see. Right? You need to look at things that you can't see. Look at Hebrews chapter 12 one more time. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You see that? He wrote it. It's finished. Done deal. It's yours if you have it. You need to see Him. And you will with your eyes one day. I'm glad. Every eye shall see Him. We'll talk about that in a little while. But for now, while we walk by faith and not by sight, you need to make sure that you look for that which you can't see. Because everybody else is tied up with stuff that they can see. And you know how some pictures are? They just reverberate in your mind. You can see some movies sometimes. I've done it. There are some pictures that you can see that they don't impact you an awful lot for the first little while, and then you go lay in bed 6 hours later, there are still images flashing through your mind of what you saw. It's hard to shut that baby off, right? And so that's the real trap. The real trap today is that folks see, and they see, and they see, and they see, and it's just impact. It's an onslaught all the time. And they don't ever get beyond that, and so they just never look at things that you can't see. Look, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter 1. And we can move on to something else, but I'm telling you, you need to make sure and see Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You can't see Him yet. Physically with your eyes, because He's not here yet. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I wonder if your love for Him is real. In verse 8. I wonder if your joy is real. If it is, it's not because you've seen Him. It's because you've looked at something that can't be seen. And you've embraced it. You need to look at Jesus Christ. There He is. Look and see. There He is, right in the Bible. There He is. Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. There He is. Stripped, whipped, flayed alive, essentially, hanging on a cross, bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. There He is, the just, suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. There He is, the blood of Jesus Christ dripping off the edges of His elbows as if they're slightly bent. And as the day goes longer, and as He grows weaker, He grows stiller. And so each drop of blood drops and falls. And if it had been really quiet on that hillside, you could have heard that each drop of blood hit the ground in the same spot where the last drop hit, because He's getting weaker and weaker and not moving. There He is. Sky goes dark. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And dies. There He is, though, a little while later, a bunch of people pulling Him down after the soldiers stab Him, making sure He's dead. There He is, buried. 3 days later, there He is, resurrected. And I can see Him now. There He is. seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high, the one mediator between God and men. I sure am glad I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, when I sin. There he is. You need to look for stuff that you can't see. Because until he comes again, you ain't going to see him. But you need to see him today. Look at something else along that line. While we're in 1 Peter, I'm very efficient. I'm just going to keep you in this chapter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And notice this time, verse 11. Where he's talking about the prophets who were searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. That verse says that the angels desire to see something and they can't see it. But it's stuff that's been revealed to you. That's what it says. Right? I didn't misinterpret anything, right? Okay? Then you need to make sure and look at some things. Those things aren't visible anyway. They are the things of God. They're the knowledge of God. It's doctrine. It's truth. And the Bible says that you need to look to those things. Angels desire to look unto them, and they can't see it. But he's revealed it to you. You can see it. Go back to Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 13. I mentioned this morning one thing that's been the plague of Christianity, and it's not just raw knowledge, don't misunderstand, but for generations now, the better part of the body of Jesus Christ, people that really are saved, have been taught next to nothing by their pastors and teachers. They've been given a continual diet of pap and baby food and that green slime that you ladies feed your babies. I don't get it, but whatever. I'd spit it out too. I'd throw the can at you if I could, but whatever. But that's what Christians have been fed. They don't know anything. So they don't, because they don't know anything, they don't see anything. You're called to look at some stuff that you can't see. And this is stuff you can't see. Look in Matthew chapter 13. Go on down to verse 14. Matthew 13 and verse 14. Well, let me start in verse 11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you, you apostles, you disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them, that is the Pharisees and the blinded part of Israel, to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. He shall have more in abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them, Israel in the main, in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing, seeing, ye shall see, and shall not perceive. They're looking and they're seeing, but they're not getting it. They're looking and not getting it. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, you apostles, you believing disciples. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now, it's true that those disciples did see some things a whole bunch of people wanted to see and didn't get to with their eyes. But it's also true that he showed them some things that they couldn't see with their eyes. I'm talking about the things of God. I'm talking about knowledge. I'm talking about doctrinal truths that are right and good. And that's one thing that we're terribly short of these days. I remind you in John 16 that when the Holy Spirit came, He was the Spirit of truth. He would guide and lead unto all truth. That's John 16, 13, if you want to go look it up sometime. Right now, I'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because I've said, first of all, you need to make sure and look at some stuff that you can't see. And one thing you can't see today is Jesus Christ. But you need to look and see Him. I'm talking about spiritually. And with this, I'm talking about seeing some things of the knowledge of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and notice down in verse 9. For to this end... No, I'm sorry. I was in the wrong book. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. It might be heaven, it might be some other things that will one day we will be able to see with our eyes, but it goes beyond that. But God hath revealed them, those things, unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, the unsaved guy, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Listen, folks, there are some things that you can't see that you're supposed to look for. Does that make sense? They're the things of God. Can you see it? Things that are not in the visible spectrum. Things of knowledge. There's no YouTube video on it. Nobody has been able to place any of it in a Dropbox or on Facebook because you can't see it. But if you look, you can see it by faith. It's like that. Can you see it? I mean, think how poorly taught folks are about what salvation even is. I mean, think about the fact that so few people even understand what a new birth even is, and yet you've got it. You're a son of God, adopted into the family of God, regenerated, a new creature. You can't see that, but I know it's true. A new creature, a joint heir with Christ, and nobody yet has seen any saint seated in heavenly places in Christ. Yet look, there you are. You can see it if you just look. You look for things that are not seen. Nobody has ever yet seen the circumcision made without hands performed. Yet if you look, there it is. That's you. If you're saved, that's you. Nobody's ever seen anybody sealed, the sealing of a man by the Holy Spirit of God. Nobody can see that. But if you'll look at things not seen, you can see it. Have you ever seen anybody in Christ? Have you ever seen anybody crucified, buried, dead, resurrected, seated with Christ? I can see it. Can you see it? I can see it because of what the Bible says is true. It says I'm to look for stuff that you can't see. So everybody's running around looking for UFOs and, you know, stuff, and maybe finding them, who even knows. You're called to look for stuff you can't see, because that's the stuff that's eternal. That's the stuff that's substantive. That's the stuff that's real evidence. I don't know about you, but I got real evidence that I'm saved. Say, well, you just believe that. Yeah, that's exactly it. Faith cometh, it's faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But yeah, I can see it. You need to look and see the knowledge, truth, the doctrine of the things of God. I can give you something else. It's in Hebrews 7. There's something else that it's really, really important that you see. First of all, there's Jesus Christ. Second of all, there's the things of God. I'm talking about knowledge, truth. Then there's this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The world will never believe it. They laugh about it. I don't care. Verse 7. By faith, Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, when Noah got told it hadn't happened ever. By the time Noah's done, it had happened. When he was told it just hadn't happened, had never been seen yet. It points out the fact that you need to look unto some things that are not seen as yet. This is called, ladies and gentlemen, it's called prophecy. Noah saw something nobody else saw, and it hadn't even come to pass yet. Nobody had seen it with their eyes, but he saw it. He saw it as something that was not seen as yet. I'm talking about things to come. Look in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians 3:20. For our conversation is in heaven. Can you believe that? Your conversation's in heaven. Are you in heaven yet? I just don't see it. Not with these eyes, but I see it. Your conversation's in heaven. You're in Him there. You're with Him there. You're seated with Him there. Your conversation's in heaven, not just down here. Did I lose you? It's awful quiet. Funeral quiet, graveyard quiet. Wow. All right, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. It hasn't happened yet. They've been looking for Jesus Christ to come back for 2,000 years. Yeah, they looked for Him to come the first time for 4,000 years. But they've been looking for Him to come for 2,000 years and He still hasn't come. Doesn't mean He's not coming. It means that they've looked and they haven't seen Him yet. But He's coming. Look in verse 21. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He's able even to subdue all things unto Himself? Things not seen as yet. The rapture. He says, we look for Jesus Christ. Just look. There He is. He's coming. Maybe not today. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. Maybe next year. I'm not sure. But if you'll just look, He's coming. He told you He's coming. You need to see things not seen as yet. And the Bible says it's true. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And this then shall be brought to pass the saying that's written, death is swallowed up in victory. This mortal shall put on immortality. This corruptible must put on incorruption. It's going to happen. Can you see it? You won't see it with your eyes. Not today, at least not right now. But you need to see it. You need to look at things not seen. The Lord Himself should ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you see it? I can see it. I'm not looking at it right now, but I can see it. I can see it happening. Because you need to look at things that are not seen. Look in Titus chapter 2 along this line. Titus 2. Need to look at things not seen. Everybody else is looking at things that are seen. They can't rip their eyes off of things that are seen. You need to be looking at stuff that's not seen. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope. You'll see it one day. Can you see it today? Can you see it now? You should be able to. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We'll say more about that in just a little while, but if you can just see it, we get out of here. Our bodies are changed to incorruptible, to immortal. We fly out of here. We go to heaven, where the Bible says that we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you see it? Do you live in light of it? It's just on the other side of the rapture. If you live in light of the rapture, you flat sure better deepen your shadow because you're going to the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture. And there we'll get to give account for what we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or be evil. It has a Christian context. Nobody at the judgment seat of Christ is lost or can be. But the judgment seat of Christ should be clearly seen by everybody in this room. It needs to be clearly seen by everybody in this room. You need to look at stuff that you can't see. After that, it's a good time. It's the marriage of the Lamb. Look forward to that. Do I look like a blushing bride to you? Can you see it? I have to admit I have some trouble with that myself, but it's the truth. It's the truth. You need to be able to see it. You need to see things. You need to look at things that are not seen. And then after that happens, somewhere around that time, that whole thing with Daniel 9 happens, the time of Jacob's trouble, where the Lord brings the final recompenses down upon Jerusalem and Israel. And the Bible says that it'll be a time of great tribulation like no other time ever before it on this earth or anything like that. And it's a horrible and terrible time. That's followed by a rather wonderful thing, by the way, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. All these things, one day you'll see, but you need to see them now. They're unseen now, but you need to look. You need to see them. Revelation chapter 1, and notice verse 7. Behold, He cometh with clouds. Talking about the second advent of Jesus Christ. And it says there that every eye shall see Him. You're going to see Him. You need to see it now. You need to look at things that are not seen. Look, at, if you will, at Isaiah chapter 40. This won't go on forever, but you just got to stick with me here for just a little while. Isaiah chapter 40. Didn't look up all these verses for nothing. I'm going to drag you along with me no matter what. No, I'm just kidding. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. One day we'll all get to see it. Man, you need to see it today. You need to be able to see Him coming to get you out of here. Then you need to look past that to see Him coming in glory to get what's truly His. Do you look at things that are not seen as yet? You need to see Jesus Christ. You need to see some of the things of God, knowledge, truth. You need to see things not seen as yet. And if you look way, way down the way there, look back to 2 Peter chapter 3, rather. If you look past the rapture and past the judgment seat of Christ and past the great tribulation and past the marriage of the Lamb and past the second coming of Christ and out past another 1,000 years, out past the millennium, if you look, you can see this. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holiness and conversation and godliness, looking for the and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Everything melts down, and the Lord makes it again, a new heavens and a new earth. You're going to see it. And it would help you if you could see it today. It'd help you a lot if you could look at something not seen today and see it. Now look, I'm not quite done yet. Got one more thing to go, okay? Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You need to see Jesus Christ. You need to see some of the things of God that so many have missed through the years. You need to see things that are not seen as yet. And then there's another class of things, and it's really, really important that you get this, that I get this. Hebrews chapter 12, go down, if you will, to verse 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Now, there's a prophetic element to this, folks, in the book of Hebrews, dispensationally, as written to Hebrews standing up in the great tribulation looking for the coming of their Lord, there are going to be some people that have some visions and see some things, but this works devotionally for me and you just as much. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. See that word holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Now you're called to look at some things that can't be seen. And if you're really going to look at the Lord in the relationship that you have with Him, and that's what our relation is with Him now, it's relationship. It's not law. It's not law. We're not bound by law, Sabbaths and all those things. We're bound by relationship. He's our Father. We're His sons. We are the bride of Christ to be. It's a relationship. If you're going to see Him today, and you're not going to see with your eyes, it's a way you have to see without your eyes. It's something that's not seen. You've got to see Him through holiness. You can't dismiss holiness and still see Him. And I only want to say it for the umpteenth time. Most of Christianity has dismissed it. Nobody's even trying to be holy anymore. They're smoking dope, rock and rolling, sleeping around, partying, living like they want to live, coming like they are, asking Jesus into their heart. And they're not even trying to be holy. They're not trying to live right. You can't dismiss holiness and see Him. You can't. You can't. Look in Titus 2 again. Just a few more. Titus chapter 2 along this line. We're not Pharisees. Don't have rules on the wall. Not going to come look under your bed or in your fridge. Don't care. I can tell you this. There has to be an element of holiness before you're walking with Jesus Christ and before you know Him. Before you really love Him, there's an element of holiness. And you can put on a show if you want, but you'll have to regard holiness before you can see Him. You need to look at some things that are not seen. Look in Titus 2. And again, we just read the verse. I know that. Looking in verse 13 for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and let us live just exactly the way we want to live and be ourselves and come to Him just however we are. No. And purify. Purify? We're not the sons of Levi and Malachi, but He's interested in purifying you. That He may purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Strange folks. Don't live like other people in the world. They're different. They're weird. They don't celebrate stuff we celebrate. They don't think highly of Valentine's Day. They don't even care about the Super Bowl, at least some of them. You know what I'm saying? They're weird. They're peculiar. In fact, you learn something in verse 12. You find learn something in verse 11, that the grace of God which saved us, you know, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation appeareth to all men, teaching us what? Wow, grace teaches this? That's not what Eaglebrook says. Eaglebrook doesn't say that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly. I guess that kind of knocks the booze out, doesn't it? And the legal marijuana. Righteous. Oh, boy, that got quiet there. What y'all been doing on the side anyway? Righteously and godly in this present world. You cannot dismiss those things and say, I'm under grace. You can't. Get saved without those works. Get saved without that. True. But that's not how we walk after we're saved. You're supposed to look. You're supposed to look at things you can't see. Look in 2 Peter once again, since we're back this way. And I really am wrapping up. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 11. Now this looks out beyond the millennium. I get it. We are not looking, at least in the next days, for the great meltdown and for the new heavens and new earth. I get it. But just read and see. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, The elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? It's a great question. Since everything's going to melt down and burn up, since Christ is coming back to get us out of here, since Christ is going to come back and smash the ungodly, since the judgment seat of Christ is coming, since the great tribulation is coming, we're not going to be in it, but nevertheless, seeing that those things are true, what manner of persons ought you to be? What kind of employee should you be? You know, what should you do with your free time? What kind of church member should you be? Because boy, you look at those things, you go, whoa, I should probably be doing something different. Right? Goes on to say, down in verse 11, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy conversation. Not telling little sex jokes on the side, not innuendos. You know how it is, you go to a, you know, turn on a TV, somebody said a movie's good or something like that, and you, so you go get it, and you find there's all kinds of innuendo and nonsense in there, you know? It'd be good if you stayed away from that because of the way a person ought to be if he's saved, because he's looking unto something greater. It's the things of a relationship. There's just things I don't look. There's things I don't say to my wife. You know, do I like fat? Do I look fat in this dress? There's things I don't say. Get it? Some of you would be wise to heed what I'm saying. There's things that you should not say to the Lord. There's some things that if Jesus Christ was sitting in that chair, you would never say or think. You think he's not sitting in that chair? He's sitting much closer. How is it that you live when you're left alone with a computer? Know what I'm saying? Look at one more thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. No, two more things, and then I'll be done, I promise. 2 Corinthians. I told you it was going to be Bible heavy today. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll put on the website next time I'm going to preach a sermon where you don't need your Bible. That way you can come in. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? I mean, you've got a relationship with God, right? And what communion hath light with darkness? There are things that don't go together. Look, if you're married, you don't go to some nightclub somewhere and hold some other girl's hand. So, why would you put things together in these passages that don't go together? Know what I mean? Jelly bean? Verse 15, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Who should you be cooperating with? Who should be your buddies? It says in verse 16, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. I'll receive you. I'll receive you into fellowship. These folks are already saved, but receiving them into fellowship. Look, you need to see some things that you can't see. You need to look to things that you can't see. One of the great conspiracies of our day is the amount of material that goes in our ears and in our eyes. The world is at full-blown onslaught all the time. It's not just billboards. You do it to yourself, right? You need to make sure you look at things that are not seen. I have one more verse for you. Look in Proverbs 29. Some of you may be surprised I haven't quoted it already. It's because I'm closing with it. Proverbs 29. Look to things that are not seen. Proverbs 29, go down to verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. For he that keepeth the law, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But where there is no vision, the people perish. if you're not looking at stuff that I'm talking about looking at this morning, as a Christian, you're asleep. As a Christian, you're suckered by the world. And you've basically compromised your integrity because you're busy attending to the things they are shoving into your head. Do you know whose God they are? Do you know whose God is theirs? Well, it's a small g, I'll give you that. But his name starts with an S. A capital S. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you this morning.